Hey, thank you for joining us again this segment and for our last half hour. And I've got David Schenck, a global consultant for Eastern Mennonite Missions. His particular focus is developing peacemaking relations with Muslims. He's the author and co-author of numerous books, including A Muslim and a Christian in Dialogue, Journeys of the Muslim Nation and the Christian Church, and Tea Time and Mogadishu. And David visits about 15 Muslim countries a year, and he's author of a new book, Christian Muslim Friend, 12 Paths to Real Relationship. That should be interesting. So, David, thank you very much for being with us on the way.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You know, is it hard to develop relationships with Muslims?
I find that Muslims are among the most friendly people in the world. And they love to talk about God. It's hard to meet a Muslim and enter into conversation without God being the center of the conversation. And hospitality. Muslims that I walk with and know are a most hospitable people. How many times have we been in the home of a Muslim and enjoyed a goat feast or a drink of camel's milk? We just love being with Muslims.
Well, their image globally is not that at all. So tell me the difference between the image and what you've experienced.
Well, you could also say the same about North Americans, couldn't you?
I think you say about anybody, because we're all sinners.
But North Americans have a reputation of being rather warlike people in some parts of the world, and Muslims have the same reputation in some parts of the world as well.
Except, David, we're not blowing up people and cutting off their heads. So I guess my question for you is this, is that there is such a terrible image of Islamic extremism, as you know, and I think people are reticent to make relationships, especially Christians, to make relationships. And I know that's wrong, so I'm trying to encourage our listeners why they should do it. But there's such a terrible image of Islam that people are a little bit frightened away from it. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, that is true.
So then how do you break that fear?
Well, I would say by learning to know Muslims. Here in our development where we live, my best friend for years has been a Muslim. We go out for coffee occasionally. He's had our family over to their home, and they come into our home. And we have just experienced much graciousness. It is true that there is an edge in some parts of the world. Muslims who have embraced a path of violence, which gives us much grief. What is rather interesting, I think, and important to realize, is that Muslim leadership in many parts of the world are just as concerned as we are about that militant edge, which sometimes crops up and which does bring much grief, and which we do attempt to address as we can.
Well, you know, David, I know you're a strong believer, and I assume you're a Mennonite, is that correct?
That's right, I am, yes.
You know, and I know you love the Lord and, present the gospel. To your Muslim friend, or anyone who's not a believer in Christ, do they ever ask you about Jesus, and if they don't receive him, what happens to him, or is that just a taboo issue?
No. There's a Muslim theologian, one of my favorite theologians is from Lebanon, and he says it's interesting that when Christians and Muslims get together, that Jesus seems to occupy the center of the conversation and he can't be ignored. And I find that that is often very, very true, that not only are Muslims interested in speaking about God, but there's a lot of curiosity about Jesus. He's referred to as the Messiah in the Quran, born of the Virgin. What does all of that mean? So in remarkable ways, Jesus often occupies the center of the conversation. That's not true of all Muslims, certainly. But there's an intrigue about Jesus among Muslims which is noteworthy, which we should embrace and use those open doors to enter into conversation.
And see, David, I agree. I think that's a big door opener, because I've seen Muslims who just are intrigued by Jesus. And I've heard Christians say to them, why don't you go back and just read his words and then come back? And they've literally come back, some even transformed and born again. But it really is a door opener, isn't it?
It is, yes. There's many door openers within the Quran. For example, the Quran refers to Christians as the people of the book. And there's this counsel given to Muhammad in the Quran. If you've got any questions about faith issues, that kind of thing, Ask those that have the previous scriptures, which means the Christians. and they'll help you understand. And so, again, not all Muslims are ready to ask those questions, but many, many are. I often introduce myself to Muslims as a person of the book. That's the nickname that the Quran gives to Christians, the people of the book. I say I'm a person of the book. I read these scriptures daily. I stand upon them. And do you have any questions to ask me as a person of the book? And oftentimes I find they do have questions to ask.
Well, you know, David has written a book, and I'm talking to amazing man David Shank, a global consultant for Eastern Mennonite Missions, and he's written a book called Christian Muslim Friend, 12 Paths to Real Relationship. And you can go to our website, am980themission.com, and look up his book with a keyword is called Paul. The keyword is Paul, but look it up if you want to get it. It's a fascinating book. And I guess, David, you know, you talk about 12, interesting, good holy number, but you talk about 12 ways that we can develop relationships, authentic relationships with Muslims. Could you just give us a couple of those?
Well, the first one, I say keep identity clear. That's one of them that we list right at close to the top, keep identity clear.
And what does that mean?
Well, that means that when I meet with Muslims, I want them to know that I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm committed to the church, and I walk in that way. That's my confession. That's who I am. That's where I stand. And that's very important, that you know who you are.
How do they respond most of the time?
Some years ago, I was invited by the Muslim Student Association in the United Kingdom to have 6 days with them dialoguing in UK universities. And when I got to the airport, I asked my host, and why have you invited me? They said, it's because you love and respect us Muslims. That's why we have invited you. And so we had these very intense dialogues, three-hour-long marathons. And my Muslim host said, do you notice that everybody is listening to what you have to say? It's because you love and respect us. That's one of the points we make. Learn to be respectful.
Well, and I think, David, that's
another very important point.
Yeah, David, can I just jump in, please? I think you hit a key point right there, a very key point, especially we believers need to do that, is to honor and respect people, even though they don't agree with us. And even though we might disagree, we don't need to be disagreeable, but we do need to be respectful. It's a very good point. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes.
And give us another one, because you've got 12 great points how to develop relationship with Muslims.
I asked a bunch of friends of mine as I was working on this book, what's the number one point we should make? They said hospitality. Muslims are very hospitable people. Some years ago, one of our sons spent 3 weeks in Algeria. And when he left the border, the Algerian immigration officers were chagrined that he had spent no money at all. And he'd been 3 weeks in Algeria. And they said, well, how'd you do that? Well, he said, hospitality. All along the way, the local Muslims took him under their wings, provided lodging for him, food and transport and so forth. Muslim hospitality. It's just remarkable.
Well, you'd be hard-pressed to have that happen in America. I mean, you know, that's amazing. Now, is that because they knew you and you were the father of this young man?
No. All they knew, he was a Christian from the USA, and we're to treat people hospitably according to the Quran, and here's this stranger among us. We should make him feel at home. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's absolutely the image we have of not all Muslims. I understand that. It's extremists, whether it's 5-10%, still a lot of people, you know, but it's certainly not the image we have in the media, and we know, of course, the media can be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm talking... I'm sorry.
Yes, and the hospitality should be reciprocated. You know, they extend the hospitality. We should also extend hospitality. And when 9/11 took place, there's a mosque not far from where we live here, and I go to that mosque occasionally and meet with the congregation, and we have conversations about faith and so forth. And on one of those occasions, I asked them, how does it feel to live in the USA? And you're in this Christianized, secularist culture. And how does it feel as Muslims living here? They said, frankly, it feels very good. For example, when 9/11 took place, the pastors in this community came and met with the imam, the leadership of the mosque, and said, listen, don't let any of your women go shopping without some of our wives going with them until things cool down. And so the churches stepped forward. They stood around us, they protected our women, until things cool down. That meant a lot to us.
That would mean a lot. Dave, I'm going to take a break. We got to take a break. But I'm talking to David Schenck, global consultant for Eastern Mennonite Missions, talking about how we can develop relations with Muslims. And we'll be right back with him in our last segment of today, On the Way with Ridgeway.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Here we go!
Yeah, I've got back with me David Schenck, who is a global consultant for Eastern Mennonite Missions, and his focus is developing peacemaking relations with Muslims. And he's written a book called Christian Muslim Friend, 12 Paths to Real Relationship. And you can go to our website, am980themission.com, and you can see, and the keyword is Paul, and you can see David Schenck's book there. And David, thank you for joining us in this last segment. And my question for you is, what does one do to help facilitate relationships with Muslims? And even as importantly, what do we not do?
Well, yes, be respectful. We said that in the first part of the interview. Let me just share what's happening right here in my community in Lancaster, where I live. There's a couple of Muslim congregations, and there's a number of my friends and colleagues who regularly go to the mosque. And always asking, may we come, just barge in, and often like to go Friday when the sermons take place, you know. And growing out of those visits in the mosque, a friendship had developed. And so occasionally, like on Thanksgiving, a group of the Muslims in the mosque and a group of Mennonite Christians joined together for a Thanksgiving meal. And had a wonderful time together. And the relationship has become so deep that the pastoral leadership on the Christian side and Muslim leadership on the Muslim side are beginning to meet regularly for a cup of coffee and to talk about how they can work together, building stronger relations, and also talk about the faith questions which come our way. So it's a very modest effort, but I think a very fruitful effort, little steps. The Muslim in my neighborhood here, and I go out for tea occasionally. There's no one else in my neighborhood I go out for coffee with occasionally except this dear Muslim friend. So take steps, express hospitality, receive hospitality, and you will be surprised at how those gestures will be reciprocated.
Well, David, you talk about 12 things one can do. We've covered a couple of them. Would you just give us a couple more of what we can do to develop relationships with Muslims?
Well, the seventh point I make here is answer the questions. Muslims have a lot of questions about the Christian faith. The notion is that when we speak Trinitarian language, we mean that there's God who had a wife and had a son. And that misinformation just permeates the Muslim community. That must be laid to rest. We must address the questions that they have. The question of the incarnation, what does it mean for Jesus to be the Son of God? Why would the cross be important to Christians? So be prepared to give answers to these searching questions that we so often experience as we meet with Muslims. And look for the persons of peace. Jesus, when he set out the disciples, the 70, he said, look for the person of peace. And within the Muslim communities, there are many, many people of peace. Search them out. Who are the leaders who are committed to peacemaking? And on our side as well, as Christians, to seek for those among us who wish to be a people of peace and discuss and share how we can be authentic people of peace. That's very significant, seeking the person of peace.
You know, where do you draw the line, though, social gospel versus biblical gospel here? Because it's so easy to get caught into, you know, let's get together and have dialogue and da-da-da. But where is that line, David? Where do you draw that line at?
Well, the Muslim desire, as they pray, you know, five times a day facing Mecca, face to the ground, they're praying that God's will be done on earth. in every area of life that God's will be expressed. That's the passion of faithful Muslims. And within that passion, of course, they see the Quran as the center revelation of what it means for God's will to happen. As Christians, it's Jesus Christ who is the center. And so we also, when we're faithful to Jesus, with a passion, yearn to bring every area of life under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's where the conversation takes place. What does it mean to submit every area of life to the authority of God? For our Muslim friends, it's the Quran reveals what that is. And for Christians, it is Jesus Christ, to whom we seek to submit every area of life. And that's very, very important to make that clear. And then to live as disciples of Jesus. I was recently at Al-Azhar University in Cairo, which is the premier Muslim university in the whole world. And they had translated one of my books into Arabic, the dialogue actually with Kotevega Muslim, and were sharing with me how helpful this dialogue is in building relations between the Christians and the Muslims in Egypt. I was saying that as a disciple of Jesus, I'm committed to his peace and to living in his way and receiving his grace in my life day by day. And so as I was leaving, I said, and what advice do you have to give to Christians in America? So here are these top leaders, you know, they're at Al-Azhar University. They said, this is our message to American Christians. Follow Jesus. If you would follow Jesus, you would become a transforming movement in the world that would bless the whole world.
Wow.
So that's our plea with you. And they said, we're serious about that. When you get into churches, Schenck, wherever you go in America, say, follow Jesus. And say that Al-Azhar University leadership are imploring Christians in America, follow Jesus. Good advice.
Yeah, amazing. I'm amazed. It's amazing advice. And hey, David, I'm talking, by the way, to David Schenck, who goes over to Muslim countries 15 times a year. And David, ever any sense of terror or fear for your own life or safety?
No. I have lived and worked among Muslims for 50 years. And I have experienced nothing except affirmation by them. There was a couple incidences when I was the headmaster of a school where a student got a grade he didn't like, that kind of thing, where sometimes someone lost his cool to me. But I have never experienced hostility due to my faith commitment. And I know that there are many have experienced hostility. And that some have died as martyrs. For me, I have not needed to walk that way. I have experienced the embrace of Muslims again and again.
Well, David, I could just sense even in the interview your kindness and the Spirit of God on you, and I just want to appreciate it. This has been very helpful for me because it's, again, showing kindness, and we can agree to disagree, but we need to love everybody. If we don't love them, what good are we? You know, we're like tinkling brass, the Bible says. And
but I push it further than just agree to disagree. I use every opportunity that God brings my way to bear witness to Christ.
Good. I was hoping you'd say that clearly. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, well, I'm going to go get your book, and I want to encourage all of you. You can go to AM980, you know, themission.com, and you can find David Schenck's book there that we've been talking about, which is Christian Muslim Friend, 12 Paths to Real Relationship. So, David, God bless you mightily, and blessings to your work, sir.
And thank you. You know, the Twin Cities are famous in the Muslim world for their hospitality.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm going to make an extra effort to do more.
Yeah, why do thousands of Muslims want to come to the Twin Cities? The hospitality.
Wow,
that's community good. Well known among Muslims.
Well, thank you very
much. Celebrate you, what you're doing. Keep it up.
All right. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.